So picking up where we left off yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people about their sedition, their slandering God in quiet. Verse 34, still in chapter 1. God heard, he heard the sound of your words. And the Lord God was incensed. And Almighty God promised, saying, it's interesting that we don't say Vayishma Hashem es divrechem, Hashem heard your words. It says es koil divrechem. Koil means a sound. The Al-Sheikh says it was etzem hashlichas, the fact that they insisted on sending miraglim. Okay, that could be understood. But it was the sound of their voices as they rebelled against Hashem, the anger and the insolence that really sealed the deal. Whereas the Seferno says, based on the Gemara in Tainus, he says the main kapeda was the koil. What was the voice? On the night of Tisha B'Av, they wept. Crying makes noise. They made a lot of noise. They cried out loud. And that's when Hashem said, the Gemara in Tainus tells us, Ata b'chisam, b'chiyah shalchinam, you cried for no reason. I'll give you what to cry about. And so the Seferno says this is indicated with the word koil divrechem. Im yire, Hashem promises, ish ba anoshim ha'ilo hader ha'raza es ha'aretz ha'teva. Let's see who will see for this land from this generation. In other words, they won't see this land. Hashem ishbaiti loses la'aveisechem, which I swore to give to their ancestors. Rashi doesn't really comment, and this is pretty straightforward. In other words, those who kvetched and complained, those who refused to go into the land of Israel, those who slandered God, saying God hated them, they would not see the land of Israel. Zulasi, there's an exception here. The exception is Kalev ben Yefuna. Hu yireno, he will see the land. Not only will he see the land, veloy eten es haaretz, and to him I will give the land, asher daraba, the land that he trod upon. Ulevonav, and to his progeny. Ya'an asher milei achare Hashem, for he has followed Hashem. So there's a difference here between Kalev and Yehoshua. Even though Joshua is a really important guy, he's going to replace Moshe. But nonetheless, who gets mentioned there first? Kalev does. And Hashem doesn't just say that Kalev is going to see the land, hu yirena. Hashem says further that Kalev is going to receive the land that he trod upon, and he's going to pass it on to his children. So the Ibn Ezer, back in Bamidbar, tells us that Kalev had a wonderful virtue that Yehoshua didn't have. What was his virtue? He got everybody to shut up. He got everybody quiet. Their mob was out of control. He was the one who got the mob to calm down, not Yehoshua. And because of that, because he got the ball rolling, because he was the one who stopped this rebellion in its spokes, at least to some degree, that's why he has this extra reward, and that's why he has the primary mention, as Moshe Rabbeinu now recounts the story. Now, it should be noted that Yehoshua wasn't able to do this. They wouldn't listen to Yehoshua. They knew it was a foregone conclusion. Yehoshua was such a chassid, and he had a name change. He for sure would do what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. It was Kalev. Kalev was able to get everybody quiet. He said, oh, do you think this is all he did to us? This Ben Amram? And they said, oh, what else did he do? Everybody got quiet, and they said, what did he do? He took us out of Egypt, got us to the Reed Sea, gave us the slav, the manna, and so on and so forth. So it's not like Yehoshua was able to and elected not to, and Kalev is the one who chose to do it, but that's not relevant. What's relevant here is who did it. As the expression in the Gemara goes, Kamanda Avad, Lo Yamrinan, the person with the best of intentions. Hashem says, you tried, you meant well, it's beautiful, but it's not the same as doing it. Factually speaking, Kalev was the man. He got everybody quiet. The Ur HaChaim says that Kalev had not one, but two zachuyot, two virtues. And they were as follows. Number one, Kalev weaned himself off the attitude of the Meraglim. And he didn't say anything bad. Number two, not only did Kalev not say anything bad, he in fact went and contradicted their words. When there is a mob, it's very hard not to go along. Hard not to go along. Okay, Yehoshua wasn't going along. But Kalev was swept. He was feeling, he felt himself being pulled. That's why he went to heaven, because he felt himself being pulled along. The fact that Kalev was able to restrain himself from going along with them was already an enormous achievement. But Kalev did more. Not only was he not part of the rabble-rousing, Not only did he not seed this rebellion, but Kalev, in fact, tried to undo the rebellion. And therefore, Kalev has two virtues. And as a result, says the Ur HaChaim, we find in Pasuk Lamed Vav, in verse 36 here, we find two things being said. Number one, Hu Yir'ena. That's number one. He will see the land. Number two, V'is and. V'loy etin. And to him I will give Es Ha'aretz Asher Darachba. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ha'aretz Asher Darachba. Rashi just takes the words and says, Asher Darach. We know which land this is. But which is the land that he trod upon? They all trod upon the whole land. What, is Kalev going to get the whole land of Israel for himself? So the answer is no. The Asher Darach Ba is the place where only he went. What was that place? That was Chevron. That was the holy city of Chevron. Shenemer, as it's written, with regard to the Meraglim, Vaya'alu, it says they went up in the Negev. And then it says, Vayovay ad Chevron. But it doesn't say Vayavayu. Vaya'alu, it says plural. They went up. But then Vayavay, who actually went into the city of Chevron? Only Kalev went into the city. That's Lashon Yochid, that's singular. And that's because Kalev was the only one who went. Why did he go? He went to find the cave of Machpelah, to prostrate himself on the grave of our ancestors. And as the Gemara tells us in Seita, he said, Avoisai, hispallu alai, my ancestors, pray for me. I beg you, pray for me, save me from that Tzasa Meraglim. And indeed, he received strength from on high and he was saved. At this point, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Gam bi hisanef Hashem beglalchem. You know, God was filled with rage against me. It's all your fault. Lemer, God's saying, not only you won't go to Israel, Gam ata loy tavisham. You also won't come there. What does Rashi say about that? Rashi says the word his anef means nismale roiges, filled with rage. In other words, af or anaf is the idea of rage, and his anaf means filled with rage. Okay, so there's filled with rage. But Rashi doesn't say anything else. He doesn't say what his anef biglalchem. Rashi says, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. And he says, Yeshua ben Nun, ha'omed lefanecha, Yeshua ben Nun, Joshua, who now stands before you, Hu yavo shama, he will come there. Also, chazek, you should strengthen him. Why? Ki hu yanchilenu es Yisrael, because he will be the one to bring the inheritance of the land of Israel for the Jewish people. So let's take a look at verse 37 here and try to understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem was angry about you, because of you, that's why he got angry at me, and I didn't go into the land of Israel. Anybody notice something funny about that? Yeah. What's funny?
That wasn't the reason that Moshe didn't.
What's the reason Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Israel? Because of the rock. Because the rock. So why is he saying this? It's like, it's great to blame it on somebody else, but Moshe, come on. That's not why Hashem passed you over for Joshua. Hashem passed you over because you were supposed to speak to the rock, and instead you struck the rock. So the Purim Yofes, he says something very interesting. He says, the reason that you had the sin of the Meraglim, what was the cause? Too much sushi to eat? What was the issue? What made them say, you know, we want to send the scouts. We don't just want to accept this. What was the reason?
They wanted to find the best way to do it.
What was the deficiency that caused? Was it a zinc deficiency, an iron deficiency?
An emunah deficiency.
Exactly, an emunah deficiency. It lacked faith. And because of that lack of faith, says Panam Yofes, Hashem wanted me to strengthen your faith. How is it supposed to strengthen your faith? That you would be thirsty and not know where tomorrow comes from and not know how you're going to get a drink. And I would speak to the rock and they would see. Just going to speak. You follow Hashem's will, everything works out. That was supposed to be an emunah strengthening session. Instead, what happened? Didn't happen. Hit the rock.
Hit the rock. The incident with the rock happened before the
Meraglim? No. Many years later.
So?
It was the emunah deficiency that caused the Meraglim, and it was this deficiency that now had to be rectified many years later. So Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Purim Yofes, says it's all your fault. It was you who had this emunah deficiency that required an emunah strengthening session that ended me up in a situation with hitting the rock. Okay, Ur HaChaim says a little bit differently. Ur HaChaim says, if not for the sin of the Meraglim, when would we have gone into the land of Israel? Immediately. When did the story of hitting the rock happen?
Much later.
Almost 40 years later. Yeah. When? Who passed on?
Already Aaron.
When Miriam passed on, because Miriam, the Eresh on Miriam, the water came from Miriam. Right. So it's because we were still around in the desert all those years later when Miriam was destined to pass. That's why I had to end up with the story with the rock. If not for you, if you wouldn't have made the show with the Meraglim, where would we have gone? Straight into Israel. So it's because of this delay, that's what caused the whole problem with the rock. That's the Aruch Chaim says it. The Kli Yakar says, actually, this is what the Kli Yakar says. The Aruch Chaim says it a little differently. He says that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to go into the land of Israel was ultimately because of the Chet HaMeraglim. One thing led to the next. The Kli Yakar goes even more detailed. He says specifically they would have gone right away. It wouldn't have been till that time. And finally, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Osher, says something meridic. He says, you know why Moshe had to stay in the desert? Because it says that the Mesei Midbar Asid in Lichyes, it's going to be Tchias HaMesim. And then the Medrash says, when the people of the desert will come to Eretz Yisrael, who will lead them? Moshe. Moshe had to stay with the people. He says, because you're in my generation, you got stuck here, that's why I got stuck here. Now, amazingly, Rashi doesn't say a word. Rashi doesn't say anything. It's like it's self-understood that this story with the Meraglim somehow directly links us to the story of the waters and Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. How come Rashi doesn't say anything? Now, not only Rashi doesn't say anything, but in fact, let's take a look in the Yerushalmi book now. Let me go to page Lamed Gimel, Simen Chaf Aleph. The Rebbe notes that only a parsha later, only one parsha later, which is Parshas Va'eschanan, a very similar verse shows up. And the verse is found in the third chapter of the Chumash Devarim, verse 26. It says, "Vayis'aber Hashem bi lemanchem v'lesham elai." God was angry with me because of you, and he did not listen to me. What does Rashi say? This is with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu begging to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, "Lemanchem, on your account, biglalchem," he says. Bishvilchem, atem goramtemli. In other words, the word lemanchem on your account means, he says, bishvilchem. It's all your fault. You caused this. V'chein hu eimer, Rashi continues, and so indeed it is written, and here he reaches for Psalm 106 in the book of Tehillim, v'yakzifu al mei meriva, v'yera l'meshar ba'avuram. They created angst at the waters of contention, was they who questioned and complained, and it was bad for Moshe on their account.
Is there a more fundamental problem? This generation weren't part of that. It was their parents that were part of it, not the children.
Good point. That's a very good point. But the counterpoint to your question is, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the generation that didn't do this, is that everything here is being said to the generation that didn't do it directly. What's the point? Here's what you should be learning from. Here's the mistakes you should not be repeating.
When we say it's not biglalchem, it's biglal ha, you know, hadora.
Okay, biglalchem is a royal we. It includes the royal you. It's including the nation. Moshe speaks to the nation. He says, "Listen, this is what the nation did. This is what happened to me. Don't do this again. Don't do this to your future leaders. Don't do this to yourselves." Moshe Rabbeinu's hope is we won't repeat these mistakes. Tragically, we did, time and again. Anyway, Hadavar Derish Bir, this really needs to be better understood. Madua in Rashi Mefarash Kan, Esamila Biglalchem. Here, over there, Rashi says the word Lema'anchem, on your behalf. Rashi gives us a whole full sentence. Bishvilchem, Atem Geramtemli, and it's your fault, you caused it. He talks about cause, right? There's a cause and effect over here. He reaches across the scripture and introduces us to a verse from Tehillim, from the book of Psalms. And here Rashi doesn't say anything, just goes right by. Everybody else seems to say something. So the Rebbe says a very interesting thing. The Yesh Leimar, here is a simple resolution to the problem of Rashi's silence. Hasiba lakach, the reason for this, is mishum shepasuk ze mefia kan bederech agav. The business of Moshe Rabbeinu not going into Eretz Yisrael, the business of Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock and being prevented. Why does it show up here? What are we talking about now? We're talking about the story of the spies, which happens in the beginning of the 40-year sojourn. In fact, it's what causes the 40-year sojourn. When Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking in Parshas Va'eschanan, what's he speaking about? He's speaking about him going into the land of Israel. As it says, Va'eschanan al Hashem ve'isahi, I prayed to Hashem at that time, and I begged and pleaded I should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Here in Chumash Devarim, Parshas Devarim, pardon me, when we say Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go into the land of Israel, it's incidental. That's not the primary narrative. It's what we would call a Maimer HaMuzger. Maimer HaMuzger is like Mishnah Hebrew or Rabbinic Hebrew for in parentheses. It's a Maimer, it's mentioned. It's Muzger, it's framed. It's framed, it's bracketed.
It's like by the way.
It's like by the way. It's like in modern terminology, FYI. It's not really what we're talking about. But since we're discussing this, FYI, X, Y, and Z. Or maybe you'd put that in a footnote. Or maybe that wouldn't be part of the actual sentence, but since we're talking about this, it would be in parentheses. It's not really here, it's not really the issue here. Asterisk, parentheses, it's bracketed. It's not really the subject.
Yeah, but what's the point? Because it's the Torah. The Torah doesn't need to put any footnotes.
The Torah doesn't need to put footnotes. However, Rashi, in his elucidation of the Torah, will focus on the primary thrust and narrative, not the incidental. How do you follow through? HaParsha kula oisekes kan bechet ha-meraglim. This entire chunk of the Torah is focused on the sin of the spies. That's what this is about. Moshe Rabbeinu, from what we started learning yesterday, he says, Vatikver elai kulchem, the first thing you did wrong was you had no respect. You came beravuvia, a mix. It says young people pushing old people aside, old people pushing leadership aside. You just came in a mix, a wild, motley crew of angry people. And you demanded, which was, as we said, Amunah deficiency syndrome. You had an issue. And this EDS caused you all kinds of problems. And you wanted to send your spies in, right? That's like, it's an issue, okay? And then you sent the spies, and it was even worse. Not only you sent the spies, they came back. Not only you listened to the spies, but Vatirognu Balechem, you slandered God. And you said he hated you, and he didn't care about you. Well, everything we learned yesterday. And then the narrative continues, B'gzeira shenigzera b'ikvoisav, with the decree that was triggered as a result on the heels of what happened, Al Dor HaMidbar, as we learned today. We said, as a result of Koil, as a result of the wailing and crying and making issues and slandering, what happened? What did Hashem say? He said, you will indeed not go. don't play that game with me. So that's why you're not going to be going. You're not one of you will see the land of Israel. So the Rebbe says, Mala zeh ulegzeira shenigzera al Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the connection between the decree leveled against the generation that refused to go into Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of their sojourn, just 1 year after leaving Israel? What's the connection between that and Moshe Rabbeinu, an event that happens 39 years later? In the parsha of Mei Meriva, in the parsha of what is our contention, Kodev La'Boyim Shana La'Achem Ken, nearly 4 decades later. Why are we even talking about this now? It's like you're mixing, you're fast forwarding 40 years. Why don't we stick to one subject at a time? So Ahezber Lekach, the explanation, and many of the Mepharshim speak about this, Ambana, Barbanel, Sepharno, Kliyarka, they all talk about this, as we mentioned. Shahadvarim Mefiin Kan B'derech Agav. That this shows up here, Derech Agav. In fact, the words of Ramban is, it was because of the story of the Meraglim that you were held back from going into Eretz Yisrael. And not only this, later on you sinned again. So you didn't even learn the lesson the first time. Here you sinned at the beginning of 40 years, and by the way, 40 years later, you set a new generation. Ha! A new generation making the same old mistakes, the same old sins. So Ramban says it's like, not only you did this, but even 40 years later you didn't learn the lesson. The point, though, is these are dvarim ha-mefiyah kam b'derech agav. This is all incidental. This is a detail in the primary narrative, and it's all kedei lahasbir es ahevdol ben Yehoshua lekalev. It's all explaining why Yehoshua and Kalev will be entering the land of Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be entering the land of Israel. Shneim nitzlu migzeiras dor hamidbar. The two of them were saved from the gzeira, the decree that was leveled against all of their fellow peers. Why? Everybody in their generation died. They were peerless. Why was that the case? Because they didn't go along with the Meraglim. With regard to Kolev, as we mentioned, we have a special verse, a special pasuk. The Torah lavishes unique attention on him and says, "Hu yireno, he will see it. V'lo yetei nesa'aretz, and him I will give the land. V'suloi." Doesn't say more. He will see it. He will get the land he drew upon. However, v'ilu b'yachas to Yehoshua, what was the Torah supposed to say about Yehoshua? He's going to see it. He's not just going to see it. He's going to be the one to bring everybody into it. So the Torah says, "Hu yanchilanu." He is going to be the one to make sure that we inherit the land of Israel. He's going to bequeath the land of Israel to us. Well, once you say "Hu yanchilanu," the question obviously is that Moshe Rabbeinu has to answer is, "How come I'm not to be the one who's yanchilanu? How come I am not the one who's bequeathing it? Was there a gzeira against Moshe Rabbeinu because of the spies as well? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu did choose to send the spies. Hashem said shlach lecha, and Rashi says ladaitcha. Was it Moshe's mistake? Is Moshe guilty? Does Moshe Rabbeinu have the same gzeira leveled against him because of the meraglim? So there's no point, no choice now. At this point, kedei lehasber zayis mitzayin akasev es hasibu lahatolos tafkadzel Yehoshua. Why is it Yehoshua is the one doing this? Why isn't Moshe Rabbeinu doing this? So this is all be'ikvas ha'gzeira shenigzal Moshe. That's because of a separate story. It's not because Moshe Rabbeinu was implicated in the sin of the spies. That's because shonim rabba yislachem mekein. Many years later, in the parsha of Mei Meriva, in the story and narrative of what is a contention, that then it's leveled against Moshe Shalei Kanis Loretz. You shouldn't go into the land of Israel. Since the whole subject is forced upon us, and you ask the question, why does the Torah say it, right? The Torah doesn't do anything incidental. There's no choice. In the ebb and flow of the narrative, there has to be some kind of acknowledgement of why Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into the land of Israel. Otherwise, what would we naturally think? What does it sound like? The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to the land of Israel is because the sin of the spies. Everybody else didn't go because of the sin of the spies, excepting Yehoshua and Kalev. Probably that's why Moshe doesn't go also. There's no choice. The Torah is forced at this point. Moshe Rabbeinu must mention why he is not going to be going into the land of Israel. However, it's still not the primary story. That's not the main storyline, the main narrative. This appears here, Kamaimar HaMuzger, it appears here bracketed. When something's bracketed, it doesn't mean it's not relevant. It is relevant. And why does it show up here if it doesn't belong here? It shows up here because it kind of belongs here. It needs to be here in a bracketed fashion. It needs to be mentioned, but it's not the main story. And because of that, Rashi, with his sharp eye on the ball, Rashi is not going to explain this over here. Why? Because this is not the storyline. I'm sticking to the narrative. I'm going to explain the narrative. When this will become the narrative, then I'll explain it. And that's why when does Rashi explain it? The precision of Rashi's commentary. It's unbelievable. Rashi calibrated everything. He said, I'll explain this when we get to it. Now it's only being mentioned, and since it is merely being mentioned, it is not the right place to comment and elucidate. And that's when is that? In its primary place, and that of course is later on in Parshas Veschanon. Now, my friends, you see how it all makes sense. That's all for today.
So in fact.